The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Dear brothers and sisters in the household of God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words of institution just now repeated by us all, words which are both clear and unambiguous, he also accompanied them with a command to his disciples that these and all others of his words should be faithfully observed and taught until his second coming in glory. And yet for all that, and notwithstanding that the institution of the Lord's Sacrament of the altar is recorded in Scripture no less than four times, a generation after Martin Luther's birth still saw this and other chief parts of Christian doctrine abused and perverted in Christ's church as a captive of scholastic rationalism and of human tradition. That the pure word of Christ could at all emerge, not to mention flourish universally, from such an ecclesiastical wasteland remains a marvel of history to inspire our wonder and surely our never-ending thanks to God. The Lord accomplished the remarkable task with a set of remarkable instruments, human and literary instruments, remarkable, I would submit, for the simplicity of their eloquence, their meticulous faithfulness in teaching the Lord's word. Among these instruments, the small and large catechisms of Luther stand described by the formula of Concord as the layman's Bible, containing, as they put it, everything which Holy Scripture discusses at greater length and which a Christian must know for his salvation. The clarity as well as the conciseness of Luther's work in the catechisms surely constitutes a classic example of the chief Spirit-given gifts of wisdom and of knowledge as well as of prophecy which St. Paul commends to the Corinthians for the edification of the whole Church of God. But while Luther addressed the exhortation of this layman's Bible to all Christians, as he said, he emphatically added, both in the title and in the preface, that it was intended especially for pastors and preachers as a daily exercise to encourage and enable teaching of the chief parts of Christian doctrine in the church and, first of all, in the home by the pater familias, the house father, which is much more descriptive than the English translation of head of family. With reference to this sixth chief part now, in Luther's order of teaching presentation in the small catechism, presented as the fifth part in the large catechism, Luther announced his purpose at the outset, namely that those who come to the Lord's Supper ought to know more and have a fuller understanding of all Christian doctrine than children and new scholars. And he declared that it was not his intention to administer the sacrament to those who do not know, quote, what they are seeking or why they have come. Then Luther goes on to point out that everyone must first learn that the chief point in the sacrament is the word, the ordinance or the command of God as instituted by Christ. The worthiness or unworthiness of either the celebrant or the communicant does not add to or detract from the nature and the worth of the sacrament established by God's eternal and unchangeable word. So then we must ask concerning this sacrament, says Luther, first of all, what is it? And then what are its benefits? And finally, who is to receive it? Only so can doubt be dispelled and also controversy among God's people quieted. Now then, he says, what is the sacrament of the altar? Simply and concisely summarizing Scripture, he says it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in and under the bread and wine which we Christians are commanded by the word of Christ to eat and to drink. It is not mere bread and wine, but bread and wine comprehended in and connected with the word of God, he goes on to say. And it is the Word, he emphasizes, which makes and distinguishes this sacrament, in which the Word is joined with the element, as St. Augustine phrased it, and without such joining in God's Word and with God's Word, the element remains a mere element, mere bread and wine. But with the Word of God, it is truly the body and blood of Christ, Christ who can never lie or deceive. Now upon these words, take, eat, and drink. This is my body and blood. Do this. Rest all our foundation and for our protection and our defense against all errors and deception. And Luther goes on to ask in his typical form, what then is the benefit for which the sacrament was instituted? The answer follows plainly and clearly in Christ's words. This is my body given and shed for you, for the remission of sins. And Luther emphatically emphasized in writing the word you for the remission of sins. Christ's word gives us this. And that's why the sacrament is properly called a food for souls, which nourishes and strengthens a new man as a daily pasture and sustenance in the battle against the devil and the world and our flesh. Our carnal reason is constantly tempted to rebel at the thought that eating and drinking of bread and wine can possibly forgive sins and strengthen faith. But this fleshly reasoning distorts the truth, ignoring as it does the fact that such bread and wine in the sacrament has God's word attached to it by a special command and promise given to us to believe in all the simplicity of a childlike faith. And all those, and only those, who do believe these words of Christ from the heart have the treasured blessings of forgiveness of sins which these words contain. Life, salvation, the words of God convey to us as an eternal treasure, promise and convey to every believing heart. So it simply remains, therefore, for us to do this, as Christ says, and we need to be reminded and admonished continually not to let so great a treasure pass by unheeded through carelessness or laziness. We are easily tempted to think. Luther reminds us that we are such strong Christians that we have little need of the sacrament, or that somehow our Christian liberty permits us to take or to leave, or therefore to neglect it. And Luther cautions that such neglect and contempt of the word and sacrament can only result finally, if carried on, in the total destruction of our faith. So the sacrament is left free for us, not so that we may despise it, but rather that we may delight in it with all our hearts. And so we should therefore acknowledge our own weakness and unworthiness and cling alone to the worthiness of Christ. Those who are wanton and arrogant in sin and self-righteousness, Luther says plainly, must be told to stay away until they learn to look to Christ alone in repentance, faith. So with great care, Luther teaches and warns one and all not to trust their own feelings of worthiness or unworthiness as they approach the Lord's table or hear the invitation again, but as he says, to keep to the Scriptures, for they alone will not lie to us. So we today, as heirs of a spiritual treasure far too great to be measured by any human standard, we stand in awe and gratitude, I trust, one and all, in this Jubilee year and in this Jubilee week, as we again hear the Lord's word to us, to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider how their lives ended and imitate their faith. God help us so to remember. God help us by his Spirit to present in celebration and thanksgiving our entire selves anew as a living sacrifice daily, a thank offering dedicated to his service, delighted to sing his praise, determined to do his will, simply, only, always, and forever, because to the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. through Christ our Lord. God grant it. Amen.